dad is holding me over. You don't do this. Please pull me over for him. I thought he was hiding a van over in here. Please pull me over, dad, and pull me over. You don't do this.
I guess you got out of your lost and found place?
I did. I got out of my lost and found. Finally. I was a dead spot on the backside of the hill. I could barely make you. I could hear somebody else in there, but I couldn't hear who it was. And then finally got up on top of the hill. So we got everything straightened out. But anyway, how you doing today, Gary?
It was KN4UBG. I was trying to do the same thing Gary was trying to do, but it didn't work out.
I'm doing good today, Chad. I'm hoping we get a little rain so I don't have to go out and water the garden again.
Hey, Kevin. Nice to hear you in there, bud. I looked at the radar, I don't know, about 30, 40 minutes ago. There's little hot spots here and there, little bitty ones, but nothing promising.
Gabriel sent me a text. He sent me two of them. One of them said it was really hot. And the next one said it was raining. I told him to send it on over this way. My garden could use it. If it don't get any, I'll go out there and water the tomatoes and things. I'm gonna keep them growing if I can.
KO4NUE. I'm gonna hop out of here. I got a few things to try to finish up, and we'll talk to y'all later on.
Hang on, Kevin. That was a complete double. All I got was KO4NUE. Give me something before you go.
You and Gary both, I said, I'll see y'all a little bit later on. I'm going to jump in here and try to do something. Because I was trying to, I took the little one over to Anderson Beach and dropped him off with the rest of his family. And I was coming back from there up 8 whenever all that started. And I was trying to get in the repeater backwards, but it didn't work out. But I was just telling you and Gary, I'll talk to y'all a little later on. And we'll holler at y'all a little bit later. KI4DOS and KO4NUE. Y'all have a go with 73. BKN4UBG. I'll be clear on y'all's comments.
Have a great weekend, sir. KO4NUE, standing by.
Noon there, Kevin. Appreciate you coming in there and hollering at us. You take care and be careful. KN4UBG, KI4DOS. Chad, what I was saying was that Gabriel sent me a couple of texts. And the first one said it was real hot over at his place. And then he sent me another one saying that it was raining. I sent him one back telling him to send the rain on over this way. I needed to water the garden.
It is dry. Speaking of that, have you been paying attention to the news with the water level dropping at Lake Mead out in where I think that's where the Hoover Dam is?
They keep finding all these bones and bodies and all of this stuff. That don't surprise me any. How about you?
Well, comment on was I think they're up to 4 bodies now, I believe.
I don't know. I hadn't been keeping count of them, but they found more than one, and they'll probably find a whole lot more before it's over with.
Yeah, I expect so. But some of them found one in a 55-gallon drum, and then two or three others that's just, open. But I just thought that was kind of freaky, Oh, man. Anyway, so generator, I had problems with the generator up at Deer Camp, man, and had to take it back and fight with them for about 30-40 minutes, but I won, got me a new generator, and then brought it up to Deer Camp today, so I've been up here messing around with that.
Well, you should have given me a holler. I'd have come over and aggravated you a little bit, I'll be honest with you, Chad. If they were to drain a lot more of the lakes around here, all over the country, they would probably it would probably scare you to death the number of bodies that they would find.
That's kind of weird there. Years ago, I went and got my diver's license. And I used to do a lot of diving up at Joe Cassie, and I did some diving down in Florida, but primarily Joe Cassie, And you can go about 90 feet before you start getting into trouble. But we were diving up there, and I got just deep enough where I could see the outline of some buildings or something. I'm pretty sure I saw a basketball goal, but it's just beyond my 90-foot limit, But I'm thinking that was the town that when they flooded Joe Cassie. I'm not sure, though. But, boy, that sure was eerie. I mean, you get that deep, things get kind of spooky in a heartbeat.
It's been a long, well, I'd have to go be recertified now. It's been so long since I've done that. I did it when I was in the military a long time ago. And that'll give you some idea how long it's been. But there's a buddy of mine that has done a good bit of diving. I don't know if he still does or not. I don't even know if he's still alive. I hadn't talked to him in so long. But he used to dive down there at Hartwell at the dam. And he said he was going to take a camera down there. He said some of the catfish down there towards the bottom over there at the dam, he said, they're so big it'd scare you to death.
I've never seen any, freshwater diving. Seen any fish that big. I've heard tale of it, though. But I expect some of them old things get pretty big down there. But I have seen some interesting things in Joe Cassie. And they got a ship and motorcycles right there at the cliffs. You can go dive. But I don't know. I always was a little bit freaky when I got past 50 feet. I just stayed on my P's and Q's, I guess. But I enjoyed it. But I had a little scare one time, and that kind of. I made the decision I better not do that no more, so I never went back.
It don't take much to put you in that state of mind. There's a lot that can happen really, really quick when you're under the water that way. I had another friend that lived. He lives down in anyway, it's down there almost Dillon. Down there, he lives in Dillon. It's almost to the coast, and he does a lot of diving in the rivers and stuff down there. And he said he found some artifacts on his dives, but he had to turn them into the state. And he said some of them are in the state museum. He said he don't know what happened to the others. But he said that was very interesting. And I told him, I said, well, how in the world did you see down in there in the Black River down there? I said, that thing's so dark. I don't see how you could see anything. He said, well, the water was actually clear, but the sediment was what made it look black. And he said, if once you stirred that up, he said, of course you couldn't see much. But I told him, I said, well, I don't believe I want to go down there with you.
Or water when I did dive, I don't know. I was always just super careful and tried to be careful about putting myself in bad situations, you know. But I used to enjoy it. I went every weekend for, I don't know, 4 or 5 years. And then I had a regulator quit on me one time at about 60 feet. And it took me a little bit to get straightened out, but I finally scared me to death, though.
So. Way up to the a breath of fresh air, isn't it?
Yes, sir. Yeah, not much you can do either. You just have to take a chance on, you know, getting the bends or do what you gotta do. But at any rate, I did enjoy it, man. Took Anna a couple of times, and she scared me pretty bad. And that's when I just quit. I didn't go back no more.
Packet identifier out there or something. I don't know what that was, but yeah, that's enough to make you want to quit, no doubt. But I quit. I don't know why I quit. Being in the Navy in the military, you know, we had to do all kinds of swimming and all this other trash. Then when I got on the flight crew, they took me out in a helicopter and got about a mile off this island. They said, oh, you see that island over there? And we said, yeah. And they said, get out. We'll see you in a week. I'm sure they monitored us some way, shape, form, or fashion. I guess they had cameras of some kind, whether it was a drone or whatnot. But anyway, nobody perished while we were out there. But we had a lot of fun, and I'd do it all over again, but I'd do a whole lot of things differently now.
Yeah, Roger there. I was thinking about that the other day. I would do things a lot differently, too. One of them would be I'd take a whole lot better care of my body. A whole lot better care, because, boy, I'm paying for it now.
Well, the only thing I can say is think about 20 years down the road, 25. You think you're paying for it now.
Well, I'm starting to learn, and I've never had to deal with this. I turned 50 in January, and I have never had to deal with my body saying, you know, hey, I got a problem with this. I've always been able to kind of push through it, but I'm going to tell you, last year, I'm not sure what's happening, but it's just kind of like a really bad toothache all over my body that just won't go away, and it's progressively getting worse.
Old people, long time now. You got to be tough to get old.
I heard that one. Daddy used to tell me, if you're going to be dumb, you got to be tough. Boy, then he'd say, boy, you tough as nails, ain't you? So, I don't know, man. I'm feeling it. I really am. It's showing.
In there, in case somebody else wants to come in and join in on the conversation. Yeah, it's, my daddy used to tell me about the same thing, you know. He told me more times than one that I wasn't as smart as I thought I was. But I've heard that old saying that you got to be tough to get old. I've heard that for years and years, but that's one of those things that you learn when time comes that you're not as tough as you thought you was.
Exactly. I used to think was pretty tough, but and I don't know, maybe I was. I'm not sure. But nowadays, I just can't. I can't deal with it. It's difficult to. You know, as you can only take so much naproxen or so much ibuprofen, you know. But I'm feeling it, but I'm trying to figure out a way around it. But I hadn't been too successful up to this point. And something tells me I'm not going to be able to. I'm just going to have to slow down a little bit.
Thing about it, your body does tell you when you need to slow down if you listen to it. Being of the mindset we are, we don't always listen to what our bodies are telling us. We just got a call from friends up in Statesville. It wasn't good news that Ricky Miller had another heart attack. He's in the hospital. And he told his wife, he said, it was a little worse this time than it was last time, but he's a pig-headed that, you know, he tries to push on through everything and wouldn't go to the doctor the way he should. And now he's a paying for it, unfortunately.
That's unfortunate. I was talking to Chris the other day, and I told him, I said, I have spent a bigger part of my life trying to get my hands to work with my mind. And, you know, when a man gets old enough to where you can, you know, you can make your hands do anything you want to do, you know, that's when you pick up speed. You're able to make this or do that or make things happen, you know, and it takes a while to figure all that out. And now that I've got, you know, my hands and my mind figured out, I'll be daggum, my body's telling me, I don't care what kind of arrangement you and your mind have got figured out, I'm telling you what I am and I ain't going to do. And I've got to be honest with you, I'm not liking that at all.
understand that completely, believe me. Of course, it's not necessarily my mind, as far as that goes. My wife has a lot to say about it. There's things I would still go ahead and do, but she says, So I tend to listen to her because I don't want to have to put up with the wrath.
Get away with it with Anna because she needs to let me go get you some ibuprofen, or I'll go get the eating pad, or, you know, whatever. But she gives me a warning. Okay, you going too hard, and when you start struggling, I don't want to hear it. So I'm having to deal with that. But I'm trying to learn to pace myself, and that's something new. I've never had to do that before, but I get the message. It's pretty clear. I'll start stepping things down a little bit.
You have to slow down a little bit. I can still do anything I could do when I was 20 years old. It just takes me longer to do it now.
Yeah, you're right. Well, I had some problems with my generator. I got a generator up here that I keep, and it's giving me some trouble. So when I bought the thing, I bought a extended warranty with it, just in case, you know, I had an issue. And it's 6 days out. You know, I got 6 days left on my extended warranty. And it runs 30, 40 minutes, and then the inverter fault comes on, it shuts down. I said, well, let me figure out what's going on with this thing, and get my tools out. And then I got thinking, you know, I paid for extra warranty on this thing. I'm not taking anything apart. I'm taking it back, and they're going to give me another one or give me my money back. So this morning, she looked at the receipt and she says, 6 days? She said, really? 6 days? You're going to bring it in 6 days before it expires? And I'm just like, ma'am, what does it matter to you? You know what? I'm not going to get into this on radio, but I'd get the manager out there, Gary. And finally, he didn't say that much, but that cashier, boy, I'm telling you, she got me riled up in a minute. But manager come out there, and I think he got on to her a little bit. But he gave me another generator, so I brought it up here, and I've been, you know, running it up and all. But it's not a fun morning.
DOS, I can understand that. I've had that happen, not with a generator, but with other things in the past. Matter of fact, I bought a battery and put it in the truck. It went dead and wouldn't hold a charge, and I carried it back to the place I bought it. Told them, I said, the battery's bad, and they said, well, I'll have to check it. I said, fine, you check it. He put it on his little machine over there, and he checked it, and he said, yeah, it's dead. I said, how about give me a new battery? I said, I got to start my truck. And he said, well, I'm going to give you a new battery this time, but you won't get another one until you have your electrical system checked, your charging system. There's something wrong with it. And I said, no, sir, there was something wrong with the battery. And he said, well, you don't know who makes our batteries. I said, I don't care who makes your batteries. I said, God did not make them. And I said, anything that man makes will break. And he didn't like that too good, but he finally gave me a battery. And I told him, I said, well, if this one outlasts the warranty, I said, I won't be back, and I'll buy my battery someplace else.
Yeah, I get it. That's exactly kind of sort of where the conversation was headed this morning with the cashier. You know, 19-year-old girl, she's just mad at the world, you know. And I tried to be as polite as I could, and then I It didn't take long for me to realize where it was heading pretty quick. So she raised her voice and I raised mine. Next thing I know, manager was out there. He, you know, just kind of wanted to know what was going on. And she told him, she says, he's going to bring that generator back in here 6 days before the warranty expires. And he said, so what? Man paid for those 6 days. And he pulled me offside and wanted to know what was going on with the generator and all. And he said, I ain't no problem. He said, no problem at all. He said, well, matter of fact, we'll get somebody to load the truck for you. So they, you know, took care of it. But I mean, what was it to her? I don't understand.
Sometimes, Chad, I think it, they think it's coming out of their pocket.
I don't know. She just tells she's angry. I don't know what she's angry at. Probably angry at the world or whatnot, but I'm not the one that you need to be angry with, because I ain't going to listen to too much of it. But I tolerated her probably about 15 seconds longer than I should have. But she got the point real quick. And guy waiting in line behind me, he come up, shook my hand. I had my army hat on. He come up, shook my hand. He said, thank you for your service. He said, I'm going to step back about 10 feet away. I said, that might be a good idea. So then the manager came out and, you know, he handled it the way he should have, I guess. But yeah, I was a little riled this morning.
That happened to you? That kind of ruined your day when the generator gave you a problem to start with. And, you know, the customer is not always right, as you and I both know. But I was raised to, you know, when a customer came in, you listen to their complaint or whatever it was and tried to be nice to the customer so they would come back and give you some repeat business. But it doesn't seem like they care anymore.
I think times have changed. Times have definitely changed. I'm not exactly sure. I don't even know what to say about it, really. Some of these places, man, just, I don't know. It just act like they care less whether they get you business or not, you know. But, you know, I went to, me and Chris went to the Long John Silver's there in Pickens last week. And there was a lady behind the counter. She had the same last name I did, but she's 83 behind that counter, you know, taking orders. And that's the nicest woman. She just as polite as she could be. And, you know, they got two restaurants there in that same building there in town. And the KFC, the woman running the cash register, she's about 18 years old, just hateful as can be, you know. But that lady that was the older lady taking my order, she just, you could tell there's something lost in the generations there. I'm not sure what it is, but it's different.
I pick it up.
Talking about generators, where's a good place that a person can get generators worked on that's reliable but yet won't rob you of everything you got?
Sure, I got it. I don't know in your location. We got a guy here in Greer. He's retired Air Force. He worked on missile systems for the Air Force. He's got a small engine business there in Greer. He does really good work. He's reasonable, but I don't know about your area.
Oh, a small one that needs a new oil gasket in, and one that's bigger. I made an error with it, not realizing that that stabilized and wouldn't last for air forever. And it got gummed up, and now it won't run reliably, and I'm trying to get those things fixed, but I just don't want to drive from here to Knoxville because I want someone that's reliable and won't rock.
See, go ahead, Gary.
Yes, well, I don't know anybody in this area either. There's a place out there off of 101 out there close to where I used to work that works on stuff like that, Andy. But there again, you got the that's quite a hump over there to Greer. It's about 30 miles from the house here, and you live further away than I do. Andy said that they put the new duplexers on. I knew, according to the meeting the other night, that they were had some ordered to one of the machines, but I don't remember which one it was. I'll let Andy give me that frequency again, and I'll check it out.
LZI-4. It's the UHF analog on blast. 443-46.
I'll check that one out. I don't have the DMR, but I don't have a DMR radio, but I'll check the 443-450 out and see how it seems to, see if it sounds any different to me. It probably won't because it's just pretty close. But again, thank you for that information there, young man. I do appreciate it. Go ahead, Chad.
I was up there with him, Andy, and I helped him put it in, so I'm anxious to see how it turns out. But quite the day. And I got turned around on the backside of that mountain. I bet you I went around that thing three times trying to figure out how to get to the top of it.
You were stay out for hell's the affordable. It ain't that difficult. A lot of those people go up there because they bird watch too. As well as got the counting machines up there, the forestry machine, arm machines, and that between that and Six Mile Mountain, that's where all the counting stuff is.
Well, is that, I better not say that. It's probably a little bit more bird watching going on up there, but basically, you're right, there's a lot of traffic up there.
What I see signs on up and it says what they do.
Yep. All right, well, Andy, I'm getting close to my destination, so let me drop in here with Steve real quick. Steve, you know, we're doing
Well, the club doing breakfast in the morning at Bojangles in Columbus. Is that right?
Well, that's what I was calling to tell you. I got together with Ann and Steve, and they got one more coming. I think they were going to call one more. So anyhow, if you want, I was going to tell you, if you wanted to show up over there, we'll be there. My spot opens up at 8:05, and it says to be there 20 minutes early, so I'm going to be there 40 minutes early. I'm going to be there at about 20 after 7, so I'm going to be at the Bojo's in Columbus at about 20 minutes to 7 in the morning.
Well, I tell you, if you tell Ann to get it out, she don't waste no time. She'll get on that keyboard and get it sent out ASAP. She's pretty good at that.
Well, you remember when you was talking to Gary earlier and Gary kind of lost you? I was going to try to tell you then, but I think you were concentrating on trying to find that repeater up there.
Right. Okay, well, so she sent an email out. Is that what you're saying?
No. We just set it up. What time was it that you were going up there to the tower? We set it up about 10 minutes before that. And I had called up there, just wanted to see if they wanted to meet me for breakfast. And Ann says, well, we'll just call around and get a bunch of people. So, anyhow, just whoever she got a hold of is coming. I don't know if she sent an email or not, but I hope you and Robin can make it up there.
I'll give him a call when I get home. I gotta straighten a few things out for that tomorrow too. So I'll get with him, see if that's something he wants to do. But I'll definitely be there. Bojangles in Columbus, 6:30, right?
Well, between 6:30 and 7:20. So yeah, that's what I'm gonna do. And Ann and Steve and somebody else too. So. Now listen, your stop is the next one past mine, and you got the rough spot, Bubba.
That's all right. I'll deal with it. I hadn't looked at it yet, but whatever it is, I'll take care of it. But anyway, listen, I'm pulling up in the driveway, so let me get on, and I'll see you in the morning at Bojangles. So KN4VWA, KI4DOS, KI4LZI, KO4NUE, 73s, gentlemen. I'm clear.
KO4NUE, KN4VWA, and guys, I'm gonna go ahead and drop out too. I'm headed for Landrum to hit the Tractor Supply, and I'm about to get spotty up here on 14, so y'all have a good evening. KN4VWA, clear.
KI4LZI4. Folks, sound like everybody's done cleared out. Andy just cleared out, and Steve cleared out, and Sandy cleared out. So I'll make this my last transmission as well. KO4NUE, KN4VWA, KI4LZI. 7-3, gentlemen,
KI-4-DOS. KCHZYB here in Mount Sterling, Ohio. Hey, Gary, you still in there? Did you shut it off already?
DOS, good afternoon.
Hey, Gary, I don't know if you remember who. I was living there in Greenville and talked to you a few times on the repeater here, probably, I don't know, it's going on a year ago now. But I'd link on Echo and link a couple to see who was out here. Name's Jeff. Call sign is Kilo Charlie 8 Zulu Yankee Bravo. I used to jump in your nets every now and then when I lived in Greenville.
KI4DOS, good hearing from you, young man. Hadn't heard you in a long time. Say you moved back up there?
Yeah. I mean, I've got some pretty crazy health problems going on. And I got an identical twin brother that's not doing so well either, so. So I moved back home at that area specifically because of the hobby. I mean, that's awesome. It didn't really matter what repeater I jumped on. Somebody always came back to me. It's pretty much a ghost town up here on the repeaters. Now, they do have nets, yeah, but as far as general traffic, it's a ghost town.
Well, I areas don't use the repeaters as much as other areas do. But come on here, get on Echo Link and come in. We're still having the net each night at 9 o'clock. Love to have you join in with us anytime you can make it. Gosh, I hate that they don't use the repeaters up there like we do down here.
He's going to be Friday. Yeah, I know. Now, my twin brother, he's got his license, too. He got his license a couple of years back, 2004. And I got mine in 2004. I think he got his in 2005 or 6, something like that. And back then, it was still really busy all over the place, 2 meter and 70 centimeter. But, it's just not like that anymore. It is sad. Now me and my brother are keeping a 70 centimeter, repeater going pretty frequently. I mean, I live 20 miles southwest of Columbus, Ohio, and here in the country, nothing but farmland and 20 miles in every direction, just fields. Corn fields, soybean fields, hay, straw, so I'm out here in the country, which I like it like that. I love it out here, but, there's nothing out here, just farmland. But yeah, I'll start checking into the net and I can probably get my brother, to check in. And the buddy of mine I'm staying with here out in Mount Sterling, he's studying for his technician, man. So I got him interested in it. He's ready to get fired up on it.
I hope he gets his ticket, and that'll put another one up there in the group as far as that goes. But love to have you and your brother come in anytime you can. Like I said, it's been a long time since I've talked to you, I'll put it that way. You said you got your license in 2004. That's when I got mine. And my wife got hers, and my oldest son got his. And now, after all these years, my youngest son, he and his wife are studying to get theirs. I don't know if they will or not, but I told them, I said, if y'all will study and get your license, I said, I've got radios and power supplies here at the house, and I said, I'll supply you with your first VHF stuff. And so far I hadn't had to put out any money on it, but we'll have to wait and see.
Hey, Gary, ND7J73, how are you?
Hey, Bob, ND7J, KI4DOS, talking with KC8ZYB, Mr. Jeff, up there in Ohio, about 20 miles south of Columbus, out in the country. Over.
Hear you both. Gary, I just heard you on. Since you signed my extra ticket years ago, I have to say hello to you and say hey to Joy. I'll let you guys get back to it. November Delta 7, Japan. Good afternoon.
Okay, Bob, you take care up there. You sound like you're mobile. That's about the only time you get on VHF. You normally on HF out there chasing that DX around. But you be careful out there on the mobile, and one of these days I'm going to come up here and see your station. Just to aggravate you a little bit. I won't call you speed bump. You take care. Hope you're doing well, and tell your sweet little bride we said hello.
And always a pleasure. I didn't want to interrupt your guys, and I think it was Tim. Good to meet you, Tim. I'll pass it over to you. Gary, you're always welcome. Come on up, visit the station. I've gotten a little bit addicted to DX, but that's okay. I still like 2 meters. You guys have a good one, but I'm going to be here listening, and I think it was Tim. Go ahead, Tim.
Yeah, the name's Jeff. Sorry about that. Name is Jeff. Juliet Echo Foxtrot Foxtrot. Charlie 8 Zulu Yankee Bravo 20 miles. Actually living down there in Greenville. I lived down there from 2012 till I moved back home 10-11 months ago. I was all over the South. Banna, Hilton Head. The last place I was at was Hilton Head Island for about 9 years. Well, no, not the last place. I was in Greenville the last 10 months I was in the state, but prior to that I'd been in Hilton Head for about 9 years. But nice to hear you, my friend. You'll hear me out here a lot more now that I know I can get linked into this on Echo Link. And, Gary, I got a question for you. Do you do any HF, or are you just primarily 2 meter 440?
Quick here. and captained the DeFusky Island ferry boat for quite some time. But go ahead, Gary. Back to you.
JC8ZYB, Jeff. I do. Hey, Jeff. Yes. I get on there quite frequently. As a matter of fact, I normally check into the nets each night, or at least a couple of them, and on 75 or 80 meters. And then I do get on the others occasionally, just chasing little DX like old Bob does. But, shoot me an email sometime if you want to make contact on HF. It's my call, KI4DOS at bellsouth.net. So if I'm good on QRZ as well, if you want to look it up that way.
That sounds good. Yeah, I've got a HF base, actually. I bought it off a good friend of mine that's also an operator in the UK. Shipped it over here to me. The thing looks like it just rolled off the manufacturer floor yesterday. It's an old Ken. It's an awesome radio. I have talked on it. I made a couple, because when I moved from Greenville back up north, I thought that I was in Greenville in like a month. You know, I'd roam full time. It just turned out that way. So I had left all my equipment and everything to go pick it up a couple months ago. We hooked it up to my buddy's G5 RV, and I was able to make some contacts on it for the first time. So, and that's what I'm probably looking at doing here, is getting a G5 RV, like the big one, so I can actually do 160 if I want to. A friend of mine lives outside of Columbus as well, Ohio, and he operates a lot of 160, I guess. So I want to get the one that's going to allow me to do that. But yeah, man, as soon as I get this thing up and rolling, we'll definitely have to try to make a contact for sure. KCAZY.
Okay, Jeff. Well, I look forward to it. I just put me up a new wire antenna. It's an in-fed 8010, it's called. It's, oh gosh, it's got a 49-to-1 transformer on the end of it, and it's got the counterpoise down, you know, it's grounded, and it's 134 feet long. But I've got my loop up, and I can get on 160 on it. And if you want to try 160 is kind of a tough band, especially with it starting to get warm weather. That's really a cold weather band. It works better in the wintertime than it does the summer.
Okay, we can at least give it a shot. Hopefully we can make a contact somewhere else. And on an HF gear for quite some time. The last rig, an 857D, and I ran it a lot mobile. Actually, I was running it mobile in my 1989 Lincoln Town Car Signature. I had space to put whatever radios I wanted in it. But, yeah, we'll definitely have to give it a shot. I'm going to try to find something next weekend, I think. Like the second or something like that, around that time period, I think. I don't think I missed it yet.
Vox.
Jeff, you broke out a little bit on that last transmission. I don't know if the EchoLink thing is with your whatever you're using or not, but it did break out just a little bit. But like I said, shoot me an email anytime, and we'll get together on HF, and we'll see if we can make contact on that.
Gary, it sounds like he's using Vox, and his Vox is not adjusted correctly.
I guess Jeff is looking at it there, Bob, but hopefully he'll get that straightened out. And it may be a Vox-operated thing. There was somebody on Vox the other day on HF that had the transmitter keyed up. Boy, I tell you what, it went on for a long time. Finally, they found out there was I guess it was a man and wife. You could hear the lady in the background. Couldn't hear him too well. But they finally figured out what was going on and turned their Vox off.
And I'll step back aside again. Maybe Jeff will come back in. Maybe he was trying to adjust his Vox, or sounds like there's something that was kicking his transmit out. It sounded like Vox to me. But Jeff, if you're there, I'll give you some space. Go ahead.
Okay, you guys, you got me back in there. I think it might have been a data issue from my cell phone. KCZYB here in Mount Sterling, Ohio. You guys got me in there?
Oh, yeah, Jeff, you're solid into the repeater now. Everything is making good connection. Over.
A good deal. Yeah, I think it was my data on my phone that was causing the issue there. What I was saying is I think the Dayton Hamfest is coming up, right? I haven't missed it, have I? I think it was like around the time period of 20th through the 22nd or somewhere around there. Does anybody know? I hope I didn't miss it.
It should be coming up. I don't know if it's already happened or not. They changed our Hamfest the first weekend in May because that's normally conflicted with that, with the Dayton Hamfest. But there again, I don't know, Jeff. I haven't looked at the Hamfest schedules in a long time. Over.
Okay, I'll have to find out, because if Dayton hasn't already happened, which I don't think I missed it yet, I'll have to go in here and check. But I'm going to try to see if I can get a deal on the G5 RV, which they're not that expensive anyway. But I do have a question for you. You know, I've got, you know, everybody has their own opinion on what to use on HF, whether it's a vertical or a wire. I mean, what do you suggest? Because I've got friends that are telling me to use verticals, and I got some friends telling me to use a wire.
Well, Jeff, in reality, it's pretty much personal preference. I've got some friends that use verticals. I've got friends that use wire antennas. I've got some other friends that have got these humongous beam antennas. You know, of course, they got an antenna farm like you wouldn't believe, but... It depends on how much room you have. That has a lot to do with it. And Bob, jump in there and give us your opinion on which way you would go, vertical versus horizontal type antennas on HF. Back, and Jeff, I hope you got that. Bob said that verticals work real well if you use them as monobanders. So there you go. And there are multiband verticals that work well, but it just depends on your situation and how much property you have. With you being out in the country, I don't think you'd have a problem with it.
Oh, no, property is definitely not the issue, man. I got 5 acres of property I'm staying on out here, so we got plenty of room for sure. The problem is I don't have really any trees to speak of to use, so I'm going to have to figure out how to anchor a G5 RV. There's 2 trees in front of the house, but they're way apart from each other. They're more than 50 feet apart, and that's the only trees that I've got that I can use. So I'm going to have to figure out something to anchor the wires to. But, all right, well, I think I'm going to go with the G5 RV. I mean, honestly, when I had my F57D, I was in an apartment complex, and I couldn't put up anything there, and I simply used the downspout and gutter to my apartment building, and I was getting out all over the place with that, if you can believe that. I mean, I had to come up with something, because I had shot a long wire up in the trees at this apartment I was living at for my ICOM R75 receiver, and I got away with it for about 6 or 8 months, and then they saw it in the trees and told me to take it down. They said it was, you know, lightning strike liability, so they made me take it down. But, so yeah, I used my downspout and gutters for quite a while, and it worked good.